Just partying? Well, party and get people saved. Amen? Amen. You take your swords out. Sean, would you lead us? What, you think I'm going to let you sit there? Well, too bad. Just lead us. I'd ask you to preach it. Amen. Amen. If you would take your scriptures out and turn to Matthew 6, 31 to 33. The title of this message is Misplaced Priorities. This is the Lord speaking to us. After he has a long rendition of things that we're not supposed to do or look for or seek after, he says, don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. Why be like the pagans who are deeply concerned about these things? Your heavenly Father already knows all you need, and he gives you all that you need from day to day. If you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary priority. Misguided priorities. Last week I talked a little bit about how Satan uses other things in our lives to deviate us to draw our attention and focus away from God, and hopefully it made you think. Today we're going to go and add a little bit more to that thinking and bring you to a conclusion to make a decision. Because that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ does. It makes you make a decision. And last week I talked and gave the example of the pop quiz element, where the teacher came in and gave a pop quiz and said, follow the instructions, and the instructions are to answer all the odd questions. But you took upon it yourself to answer all the even questions. And by answering them, you answered them all right, and you sincerely did the exercise. But you were sincerely wrong. Why? You did not follow directions. And this is what Satan does to us. Satan does not want us to follow the directions of the king. He wants us to still think that we are independent of him and that we can live our lives contrary to his will and purposes. And because of that, we live a life with misguided priorities. Amen? Amen? All right, you guys are awake. Misguided priorities. We found out that last week we have a commodity that was given to us that we very rarely, if any time, think about, and that is time itself. All of us have 24 hours in a day, but what we do with those 24 hours continuously determines what is priority for us. That's a fact. The fact of it is it is not our environment that makes us what we are. It's what we spend or waste our time on that produces what we are. And that is a fact. And that is true. If I spend all my time drinking and having drugs and living a fast life, eventually my life will be over quickly and will amount to nothing. And Satan wants us not to pay attention to this simple, deep truth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We're seeking all these things at the expense of doing what God says to do. And all we have to do is look at the condition of our lives. The condition of our lives dictates what the priorities of our lives are. And to make application of the kingdom principles requires us to prioritize our lives. I mean, it may sound like I'm talking a bunch of gibble in a circle, but the fact of the matter remains is, how do you know that you're accomplishing anything in your life if you don't have anything that's priority to you? Really, think about it. You may be saying, well, what's kingdom priorities? What are kingdom things? What are the things that I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm not doing? And the things that I'm not doing, I want to do, but I can't do because I'm doing the things I hate to do. Does it sound a little bit like Romans 7? And that brings us to the problem for God's people. We don't understand what we're supposed to do, so what we do is we spend all our time and effort on our own personal wants and indulgences, and we live a misplaced, prioritized life. And worse, and there is a worse, is not having any priorities for our lives. And to live a life like that is to live a life dangerously out of control and detrimental to fulfilling your destiny and my destiny in Jesus Christ. If we are not seeking the King and His kingdom and His righteousness, then our lives are out of whack. If we are seeking our personal indulgences, sinful behaviors, whatever it is that is not the kingdom of God and what He wants, what are you doing to your lives? We don't understand what we're supposed to do. We don't know where we're to go. We don't even know how to do it. And we constantly endanger ourselves by abusing the time that we have by listening to what Satan tells us is more important than what God says is more important. What is the most important thing that you should be doing each and every day? Breathing. If you are not breathing in the Spirit of God, you are dead, men and women. Baked his out, didn't I? That's right. It's simple. God is simple, but He is so deep and complex. And this is where we're at. This is where you're at and where I'm at. The difference between me and you is I'm only a half a step ahead of you. I've learned to start prioritizing certain things in my life. Thereby, when I prioritize the things of the kingdom first, I am able to measure my success in my life. Can you measure your success or failures? Because you see, if you're measuring your failures, then your priorities are misplaced. But you don't understand, Pastor. There's circumstances that have worked against me. No. You allow those circumstances to work against you. Because Jesus Christ died to give your circumstances dominion, or did He die to give you dominion over your life? And this is what comes down to meet the bottom of the road, so to speak. The rubber meeting the road. Do we want what God wants more than what we want for ourselves? Or do we not fear God enough to want to indulge in our carnal desires? Because Satan will do that. He will give it to you freely and say, hey man, this is great stuff. Don't worry about it. God will wink at it and not cause you any discomfort. And we know that for 6,000 years we have been in discomfort since the beginning. Because our parents, Adam and Eve, ruined it for everybody. Jeez. Why do we need priorities? 1 Corinthians 15:46 says, what comes first is the natural body, then the spiritual body. If I do not have my physical life in step with what God wants, my spiritual life will be out of step with the Lord. I will not be able to hear what He's telling me. I will not be able to go where He's telling me to go. And I will definitely not do what He wants me to do. Amen? And all I have to do is look at my life. And my life is nothing but a bunch of confusion, a bunch of wastelands and death and destruction in there. I have no one to blame but myself. Because I have not got myself ready to be used of God. How do you get ready? Why is it that important? How many believe you're going to heaven? How many hope you go to heaven? If your priorities do not reflect the kingdom, you better assess your position again. Because Jesus spells out very clearly, He has opened the door for us to the kingdom. But it is your choice and my choice to walk through and access all of that and use it to take dominion for my life again. Not allow someone else to tell me what to do, but have the Holy Spirit tell me what to do. There are too many voices out there telling me what's right, what's wrong. God tells me, and I don't even want to listen to Him. Because I want other people to influence my life and tell me what I should do and what I shouldn't do. I'm okay, God. I'm okay. You know what? I messed up over here, but I'm okay now. As we're falling off the cliff into the next thing that we're told not to do. And Satan laughs at us. Satan knows that the moment we sin, the moment we disrespect God, the moment we do things contrary to what the Word of God says to do, whether you realize it or not, you inflict tremendous damage to your spiritual life because you're being separated from the one who gives you life. And you inflict tremendous damage to your soul because you are confused and do not know what is right and what is wrong. As the Scripture says, we became wise in our own eyes. To live a prioritized life is to grab a hold of time and invest it. You are making an investment into your life. You are making an investment into your eternal position with God by doing what He tells you to do. Satan, on the other hand, tells you, you've got till tomorrow to do whatever it is that you want to do. And we know tomorrow never comes because it's always today. It's always today. I'll get to it tomorrow. I'll get to it tomorrow. What is it that God has been saying to you to do today that Satan says you got till tomorrow to do? What is it? And that's the beauty that with God we can repent. That's the beauty. That is a weapon that we do not use because we just say, I'm sorry. I did wrong. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And as we know, being sorry is not enough. Repentance requires a decision and an action. Does it not? But sorry only says, I've made a decision. I'm not going to correct the action. And that's where Satan gets us. He gets us all the time. He gets us. And because we're not doing the right things, what happens is our lives do not become effective for God. We tell people, oh man, you should not be cursing. And then the next minute I'm cussing up a storm. You hypocrites. You hypocrites. Repent. Oh, you know what? I can live a life of promiscuity. I can have protected sex. Well, you saw how Satan last week lies to our youth and the problems that they are suffering. It's okay, you know. I can buy condoms. I won't get pregnant. I can have birth control. I won't get pregnant. But there is no protection from STDs. You are spinning the chamber, playing Russian roulette with your life, whether you realize it or not. And Satan says it's okay. It is okay. And not only do we not live a life effective for the kingdom, we are not efficient. We waste a lot of time, a lot of energy on a bunch of stuff that will not matter in the scope of eternity. And once we expend this time and we expend the energy, you can never get it back. When it's gone, it's gone. And when we had opportunity to share with our friends, our neighbors, our family members, how important it is that God loves them and all, and we never demonstrated it, we never spoke to them about it because we got till tomorrow, and they die, their eternal conditions are set forever. When you were the one, or you were the one, or you were the one to go and say, you know, God loves you and He wants you to stop doing that. He has provided a means for you. But I can't say that, Pastor. No, you won't say it. The Lord commanded us to go and tell them, you won't say it. Because you're believing the lie. And that's the truth. Am I making you uncomfortable? Let's turn the page and get more uncomfortable. When we put kingdom priorities into practice daily, we know what we're supposed to do, how to do it, and when to do it. We are ready for whatever God says. It doesn't mean that He's wanting perfection for us. What He is wanting us is to simplify our lifestyles so that when He says, Lou, I need you to go over to here to talk to this person because this person is going to commit suicide and you're the one I need to go over there. But He don't want to hear that. He wants to hear, yes, Lord. When do you want me to do this? Yes, Lord. How do you want me to say it? Yes, Lord. That's what He wants. And that's what it means to live a Christian. But in this country, we have this unmitigated gall to call ourselves Christians, and we don't do what He tells us to do. Because after all, it's okay with Jesus. He loves me. He died. He paid for the price for me. He paid the price for you to have power over sin. Then you take responsibility for your life to maintain your robes of righteousness, clean and pure, so that when you stand before Him, you will be without spot or wrinkle. Do you know that? That is in the Scriptures? It is your responsibility. He's done everything He's going to do. Now it's your turn to do and be just like Jesus. If He tells you to lay hands on the sick, you lay hands on the sick. If He tells you to cast out a demon, cast it out. He's not going to tell you something that He Himself is not going to do through you. Hear me. He's not going to tell you to do something that He Himself is not going to do through you. He's going to do it. He needs you to be activated. And if we're still doing what we want to do, if we're still believing the lie that we got till tomorrow, or we can live our lives any way we want to, we are deceived and our priorities are misplaced. People are going to hell that need to get saved. He died for the world, of which you are one grain of sand. And you have a tremendous responsibility before the King to live your life and propagate the gospel. To set priorities simplifies our lives. It doesn't make it more complex. It simplifies. Does that mean we can't enjoy our trips going to Mexico? No, God wants us to enjoy that. But when that becomes the focus, when we throw the bathwater out with the baby, what is our priorities? What is it that God has said for you to get rid of in your life, to simplify your life, to make you more effective and efficient for Him? What are you investing your life in? Are you investing your life into kingdom things so that you can be all that you can possibly be in Jesus Christ? Or are you just wasting your time existing in a cage, taking the crumbs from the tree of life and saying, it's okay. It's okay. Father's got a table up there waiting for me. He's going to feed me. My Bible tells me He's prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That doesn't mean my enemies are going to be up there. That means I'm going to be down here with them. And I'm going to feast on what He gives me. Guys, got to see what the Scripture says. What consumes most of your time and energy in the scope of eternity? What is it? What is your priorities? Well, I need a job. If you prioritize the kingdom first, you will have that job. But you know what? I'm part of this and I'm part of that. Is that what God told you to do? Just because you're part and you're sincere about it, you are sincerely wrong because your life is not reflecting the kingdom. You need to jump off board, repent, and do what God's told you to do. And too many Christians are running around here saying, but I do this, I do that, I cast out demons in your name, and I led the youth group in your name, and I did the women's group, I did all that. But did He tell you to do that? That's the question. Did He tell you to do that? Well, I don't know. Well, you better find out. Well, Pastor, go ask Him and He'll tell you. Yeah, He'll tell me, but He wants to tell you personally. Come on, guys. I struggle with it just like you do. Believe me, I struggle with it. You're not the only one. That's why I'm dragging all my junk and God's trying to cut it off. And, you know, baloney. Turn to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, and I will use the Living Translation, says, when the people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is happy. Or, if it's in your translation, my people perish for lack of vision. Or, my people perish and cast off restraint. That is called rebellion. In a nutshell, it's called rebellion. And rebellion is punishable like witchcraft, which means the rock will fall upon them and crush people to death. God hates rebellion. And we better really understand that this is not an option for us. We have a choice. We can either obey or disobey. Our lives are misplaced because we love our sin, we love our selfishness, we love our self-centeredness more than we love God and fear Him. That's the truth. And that's only our good qualities. Again, what is it that Satan is keeping you from that God has told you to do? Well, he's been telling me that, you know, I need to do this and that. Well, why aren't you? Well, I just thought I had till tomorrow. You know, I got another day to do it. Well, how do you know you're going to have tomorrow? Well, why you got to ask me all these questions? Because I'm concerned for your soul. I'm concerned for your spirit. I want to know where you're going to end up. Well, you know what, Pastor? All I know is, I don't know, but I'm going to have fun getting there anyhow, so I might as well have fun. And you're going to lose your soul, and your spirit's going to be destroyed in total damnation, separated from God for all eternity. Is that what it's worth? Irene and I were talking about something yesterday, and she brought up the subject of Esau. Esau sold his birthright of the firstborn for porridge, for something that fed his carnality. He sold it. The birthright meant a double portion for the oldest son. We have a double portion because we are in the first son. And you're selling your birthright for junk. Fast food, whatever you want to call it. You want to be an Esau? I don't believe you do. But then you better wake up. You got to wake up, church. I can't explain it any other way. If you're not focusing on what God wants done in your life, if you're not allowing Him to simplify it, if you're not allowing Him to work these things out, you're in rebellion. If you're feeding your appetites with the things of the world instead of feeding your spirit, getting your spirit built up in God so that you can hear Him and understand what it is, so that you understand that as kings and priests, we command the angels. We command Satan. We have authority in Jesus Christ because of what He has done. But if our focus is on our indulgences, they're misplaced. My question to you is, where are you going and how are you going to get there? What is it that the Holy Spirit has been convicting you of the same thing over and over and over again and you refuse Him? Do you not know that He is the gentlest person of the Trinity? Do you not know that when you insult Him, He leaves? And when you insult the third party of the King of Kings, it's very hard to get Him to come back. And when you insult one, you insult all three. Do you understand that? I don't want the Holy Spirit to go. I don't want to quench the fire of God. And so I get on my knees. I get on my face when I am convicted. I want to be right before God. I want to be used of God. I want to be effective for Him. I want my life to flow in such ease that I'm efficient for Him. There is no waste. How much waste is in your life? What is it that you're allowing into your life? Understand, there is balance to this. But if God is telling you the same thing over and over again, and you don't expect Him to talk about the next thing He wants to do, He wants to get first things right in your life because He has a plan for you. But if you want the stuff that will poison and contaminate your life, then so be it. Genesis 3, 17 through 19 says, "And God said to Adam, 'Because you listened to your wife and ate the fruit I told you not to eat, I have placed a curse to the ground. All your life you will sweat to produce fruit until your dying day. Then you return to the dust from which you came. For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return.'" What this tells me is real simple. If I listen to everybody else out here, what I need to do, and I don't listen to God, there is a curse put on my life. Hear me. I put this curse on my life because I listened to everybody else and not to God. Curses are real. And the only way I know is get yourself under the blood. Pastor, you don't understand. I'm young and I want to have fun. You can. You can have fun in God. You can. But you don't understand, Pastor, I want to get married. In God's timing, not yours. But you don't understand, Pastor, you know, I need somebody to love me. You do. He does. Ask Him. He wrote 66 books to tell you. And then He demonstrated it, yet while we were sinners, He died for us. But Pastor, that's just a story. You believe it then. You believe it's a story. I know it's factual. I know it's real. I know He's real. I know in whom I believe and speak of. I know what He wants to do. I know that if I am disobedient to what He wants, I step out of His umbrella of protection and I allow that bus to run me over. And that's where we are when we want what we want. God is not going to move the umbrella over with us. He says, "I change not, I move not. You're going to move. You're going to come under my protection or you're not going to have it. And what you're going to have is what you're going to have." If you're tired of living your life and you want to live in an adventure, then I encourage you, come up. I'll pray for you. I'll pray that God's Spirit touch you. I pray that He fill your life and straighten you out in such a way that He will consume you in a way like never before. If you're satisfied where you are right now, then stay there. Stay there. That's totally up to you. As for me and my house, Joshua said it well. I'm going on with God. Church, the challenge is now. You make a decision. If you're going to be a pew sitter, be a pew sitter. As I said to Nolan many times, you want to do something, you don't want to live for God, be the best sinner you possibly can be. But don't come and waste my time and don't come waste God's time. Because it's His anyway, not yours. He gave it to you to utilize for the extending of His kingdom. Amen? Amen.